Welcome to Game Set Matchup, the podcast where we talk everything partnerships, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Hello everyone, I'm Carl Busby, your host of Game Set Matchup, the number one partnerships podcast, and we are back with another episode. So today I caught up with Carrie Forbes, who is the CEO at a company called League Data. So based in Canada, League Data work very, very closely with credit unions to provide them with all the functions and services that they need to run their businesses. So this could be things like vendor management, cybersecurity programs, QA, etc. Having previously worked with the likes of the Department of Justice, Carrie joined League Data in 2014 and started out as a strategy officer and then going on to become CEO in 2020. So we talk about that journey, how that sort of transpired, and also how she actually made the move to joining League Data in the first place. We discuss what makes a great partnership for League Data and the challenges that they face work with different fintech companies and credit unions. And she also provides some top tips, you know, for young people starting out in their careers and some of the things to take note, you know, when you have so many opportunities at a young age. Remember, you can find out more about Finder and how we're helping businesses secure discovery calls with vetted decision makers by hitting the links in the description. Enjoy the episode. Okay, hello everyone. So welcome to Gainset Matchup. This is a podcast where we discuss all things partnerships. Maybe you're new to the partnerships world, you know, looking for some hints and tips on how to get started, or, you know, could be like an experienced pro, just looking for a bit of inspiration or direction, whichever one it is, you know, we thank you as always for tuning in. As always, I'm your host, Carl Busby. And so please welcome our guest today. We have Carrie Forbes, who is the CEO at a company called League Data. Hello and welcome, Carrie.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming there and coming to speaking to us. Cool. So we'll start off as we like to do, you know, listeners, people listening in, just to, you know, get a little bit of an understanding, an introduction about obviously yourself. So, yeah, if you wouldn't mind, if you could just tell listeners a little bit more about, you know, yourself, you know, a bit about your, you know, sort of background, you know, what you're sort of doing in your sort of current role. And then, yeah, like, you know, what is League Data? What does it do?
Great. Absolutely. So League Data, I guess, kind of like myself, is a bit of a unique organization. And so we service and we're owned by approximately 40 credit unions on the Atlantic coast of Canada. So that's four provinces. So we have a very large geography. I think you could fit Western Europe in our geography. But that's and so it's a lot of space, but not as many people. Lots of challenges to serve our credit unions, which are smaller financial institutions. So League Data was created in 1975. So we're an old fintech. And when you think about it at that time, our credit unions are cooperatives. So it's really about collaboration and partnership in order for us to deliver the scale that they need, that they really couldn't do on their own. So that's how we were born. And over the last almost 50 years, we're coming up next year, I can't believe in our 50 years, we've evolved to become their CIO and really their technology provider. So we do everything for them. And we're also in an outsourced model. So it's all done through partnerships. And that's how. So my background, I've been in the, I guess, the fintech space for about 20 years or so. And also I've spent some time in the government world, in IT, but also in, and I'd say human resources, working a lot on executive development and leadership. So that combination probably is why I ended up at League Data in my current role as CEO. I started there as the strategy officer, really to think about how we were going to take our organization into the digital world. And a big component of that is it's all done by people. Whether it's the people that we work with and also all of our partnerships. So I think that's the blend of my background and how I got to be at this this unique little company.
That's amazing. So I think just also like for our listeners, obviously I cheated, I did a bit of research just before we think. So like obviously in the UK, we don't really have the term sort of like credit unions. We you know, obviously have like banks, we have like sort of maybe like building societies. So I don't know, just like, I don't know, maybe like just in your words, like what would you say, like, you know, is the kind of core differences between, you know, what you said like a credit union is over there or and like an actual bank, you know, that you would kind of go to?
Great. I think it's very similar to what a building society, and we work actually with a few of them globally. Okay. But it's really about purpose. And so when you think about the origins of the credit union movement, they actually started at the time of the Industrial Revolution. So as the economy was changing, you had this scenario where all of a sudden people were left behind. And so the idea of the members owning the financial institution and benefiting from that in a cooperative way was born. So cooperatives have a number of values that they need to actually live by. It's part of their charter. And that includes things like financial inclusion. It includes, you know, economic benefit. And so you can look that up. There's seven of them. So that really differentiates that local community focus and really trying to benefit local economy. And I kind of think we're at this digital shift now. And so I think their importance is becoming even more relevant again.
No, 100%. Yeah, we will maybe come on to that a bit later in terms of the whole digital and where you're going to go and try and move things into. But yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I think, again, like, you know, from my perspective in the UK, you know, these building societies, that kind of thing, they are seen more of like a personal, something, whereas like the bank seen as like, you know, you just kind of like a number really in a big massive sort of place. So it's just, you know, it's really great that obviously you've got these things and you guys obviously doing this work to support them. Obviously keep on the theme of like with partnerships. Obviously you predominantly work with credit unions. Obviously you said you've got about 40 obviously.
Yes.
So I guess, you know, I mean, obviously you're always looking to work with more, I would assume, if you can. But when it comes to like, you know, working with a credit union and obviously building a partnership, one of those, what would you say, Gold Star partnership sort of looks like for you, you know, with a credit union?
Yeah. So especially now that when we look at the role technology plays in a financial institution, like, you know, when we get started, we were more of an add-on to the main business of being in person. And so I think our partnership in those days was a little more transactional. Mm-hmm. Once you had the technology in place and everything was there, you kind of maybe checked in once a year. It wasn't a whole lot, but now it's different. Partnership is, we're expected to deliver more than just tools. And a lot of that is really meeting business requirements and also helping them realize some complex things that aren't really the business. So partnership now has to have alignment. And I think there has to be a shared sense of, are we going down the same road? And a lot of what we do is really start to eke out principles. Are we following the same way of doing? And I think that's important because if you're not really doing business in the same way, you can come into a lot of conflicts and it can really actually detract from things like your member experience or your customer experience. So there's lots and lots of implications, and having in a world where collaborating, and if we think about partnering again, it's that win-win instead of that one-time exchange. Yeah. So I think that's what we really see. And of course, in credit unions, they're really putting a lot of their trust in us for a very, very important function now. And that includes things like cyber risk and, compliance. So it's more than just, it's my partnership in you really has to be a lot bigger than maybe what those stakes were a long time ago.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. That makes a lot of sense. I think, obviously with partnerships in general, you know, you'd like to think that's the same thing. It's not just one transaction, you sign the dotted line and then we don't ever speak to you again unless there's an issue. Having those values, that is talked about quite a lot in terms of making sure that, you know, whoever you are sort of looking to partner with, obviously for you it's credit unions, but that can still be like, you know, what are those sort of values so that, you know, you kind of align, and like you said, checking in, you know, keeping that relationship live basically, rather than just the one-off sort of touch points. Obviously we've talked about, we've kind of briefly just touched on it there, like you said, in terms of working with other lots of communities, you've got a responsibility to, you know, the members obviously that are there. You touched on that cybercrime. What would you say like the challenges that you kind of pose with, you know, with managing, you know, obviously all these services and, you know, providing for this credit union? What would you say is like, you know, one of the most challenging things, or a couple of things, and like how are you currently sort of going about sort of tackling those sort of at the moment?
There's a lot of different challenges. And I think one of the, I guess in our model, in addition to the credit unions that we partner with a lot of fintechs. And so in the same way, we're aligning their principles, like all of this together, and making sure that we have a good ecosystem that can provide a good cost structure. Now, to do that, it requires them to work a lot more closely and to provide some standardization and to share some of the path. And that can be really, really difficult because not everybody may agree. And so in the past, it really restricted a lot of different ways people could collaborate. Yeah. So what we're finding now is new technology makes that more more accessible, but gathering those requirements and getting to a state of common has been really, really tough. So, you know, there's one of the challenges. How do you get everybody to play together? And that takes a lot of talking. It's a lot of these things that sometimes we don't have patience for. And people just want to get on with it. So collaborations can be weak if we're not really focused on how we're going to influence and how we're going to support and work through maybe challenging discussions, for example. Often we think collaborating is all sunshine and roses, but it's actually a lot of disagreement and figuring out how to move past it.
Absolutely. No, I agree. And would you say I guess, you know, has there been times where, you know, you want to particularly partner with someone, maybe it could be at FinTech or whatever, and then obviously, you know, you kind of realize that, you know, for whatever reason, just things aren't going to quite work. And so, you know, you've just decided to just end that collaboration there and then move on. That's happened.
Yes. And I think especially if you're actively managing a lot of different customers and a lot of different relationships, many things can happen. You can start down a path and then there can be a leadership change and that can actually change the direction that you were heading in. There can be, I think this is more common, complacency, where you start off really great and then you kind of take for granted and you don't invest in the maintenance things that you need to do to keep aligned. You can also, I think, sometimes the market can shift and all good intentions and you want to shift in one direction and maybe your partner doesn't. Not unlike, you know, regular human relationships, these business relationships now start to have these dependencies and implications. So, you know, that's why contracting is changing and we're seeing shorter terms because it gets tougher to know, is that commitment going to stick?
No, definitely makes sense. Just another question, obviously a bit more about yourself. So obviously you've been at League Data since 2014, is that correct?
Yes.
People obviously listening, I know touched on it a little bit, obviously the beginning, giving a background, but what sort of inspired you want to move, you know, obviously from what you was doing your previous, you know, sort of job and to come and work, you know, in sort of the space where you are now. Just intrigued to know what made you want to, you know, do that switch.
It's an interesting story because I was actually headhunted into this role. And I had been out looking for a different opportunity. At the time, there was a lot of change going on and I was in the public sector. I really enjoyed what I was doing, but you could see that there were things that were probably going to shift. And sometimes, you know, I was thinking maybe I should just explore to see what else might be out there. And as I was doing that, a recruiter reached out and I had no idea League Data existed. We didn't even have a website then. They were so underground. We had security by obscurity was what I was told.
Yeah.
But, and this was an organization that was looking for a lot of change. Again, had been in and the CEO at that time, my boss, had only been acting in the role for 3 months when they wanted to fill a role that was sort of dual. It was, yes, when we wanted some, it was like a solution architecture of it, figuring out how we're going to evolve, but it was also how we're going to change our culture and how are we going to actually start to change our team to move forward. And to his credit, you really got it. If we don't start with the people, the rest is not going to flow. So that was sort of my unique hat, where I had both a bit of the technology and banking background, because I started out in school actually with an English degree with psychology and theater. And I thought I was going to go into television journalism or something like that. And I needed to work. And I started working at a bank, just thought I would be there a year. And like many people, and it was early 90s, the economy wasn't great. So I was earning money and I figured I was good at it. And I stayed for 10. So it was interesting to see all these different paths emerge. And then when the League Data role came up, I sort of fit in there. And it's been, I think, because my background also, I do a lot of volunteer work in community. So it sort of blends all of these things when you look at credit union and where we are.
Yeah. I'm sure you said before you talked about the culture thing. I mean, that's just one of the key things in any, you know, business, you'd be able to drive that culture. And it's not not an easy thing to do, you know, but yeah, like I said, that is definitely a key part. And then also just so again, you touched previous work in the public sector. So, you eventually worked with like people like the Departments of Justice and Infrastructure Renewal. So just with those experiences, you know, these are like obviously quite big departments. What would you say is like, you know, from that, what experience could you take from that that's helped you most sort of in your current role, you know, today?
I credit both. That experience was like a boot camp for where I'm at today, to be honest. And banks are highly regulatory, but here's the fun thing. Credit unions and you know, even like organizations like ours, what's interesting, it's like taking private and public sector and kind of mashing them together because they have a democracy element to them. Right. So working with these organizations taught me a couple of things. First of all, although they're really big and very complex in their own ways, there's a lot of similarities in their challenges, mm-hmm. a lot of similarities in what they were trying to achieve. And when we get right down to it, human nature isn't that different, which is we all don't like change. technology can be really problematic when people don't understand how it applies, when it's poorly designed, when it gets in their way. And I think the other thing, and this is a really interesting one, sometimes we assume, and I did this with our, you know, with, you know, our, especially our judiciary. So, you know, some of your most intelligent, you know, top people in your, you know, in your society, and you take for granted that they don't have the expertise that you do. And sometimes, you know, we really, really take for granted our users and make biases and assumptions. So working with these groups really taught me a lot about better listening, better kind of thinking about that. And that really, when you're delivering service, it doesn't really matter. Everybody thinks they're unique. And they are in their own way, but at the heart of it, you know, the bigger challenges are still pretty universal. So bringing that in, our credit unions have worked very similarly, similar types of regulatory challenges, similar types of people, all kinds of grassroots up to the top. So yeah, it was, when I look back, I thought I definitely was able to bring much of that to the table. So
yeah. That sounds great. Yeah. I mean, I think, again, yeah, it was just interesting, intriguing to know, you know, such the experiences that obviously people can take, you know, obviously from one, you know, object to the next, and just hearing that, you know, different place, but, you know, a lot of the challenges are still, you know, kind of very, very, very similar. So I've experienced that myself when I've moved jobs as well. So just touch on that a little bit, because obviously we talk about the experiences. So, you know, we do like to ask people that come on, you know, as we said, we know things aren't always perfect. There's probably some things that you've learned along the way that maybe, you know, you would have done, you know, obviously differently if you had a second chance. So, you know, if you could just imagine your younger self starting out, you know, is there any like one or two little tips that you would sort of give to yourself, you know, to say, you know, ahead of time, in hindsight, look, you know, just do it this way, you know, to save yourself some pain?
Yeah, I love this question. And I sometimes get the privilege to speak to students who are either graduating or in their early university years. And I see the same thing that I felt in them that really, I think, holds you back when you're at that age. First of all, it's pressure. So a lot of it is society kind of does this, right? Which is, okay, you got to kind of figure out your path at what, 17, 18. Yeah. And you've had a lot of education, but you haven't really had a chance to get out and apply that in experience.
Absolutely.
And to be open to following your energy where it takes you, because I've seen, and I actually spent a bit of my time as a career counselor, so I could see this kind of emerging. Sometimes if we have a blind tunnel to opportunity and we're saying this is the absolute, we don't take the little side roads, you never know what capabilities you may have that you never had a chance to try out. Yeah, and that's how I learned I was actually really good in the banking world for some reason. But at the same, I stressed about it a lot, and I probably could have done a few things earlier for myself, maybe not put so much, I'd say, stress and you know, some health issues that might have emerged from that, because thinking, you know, having this whole identity crisis about being attached to my title. So sometimes we put more stock into what it feels like, or what it might look like, or this achievement, than what am I doing every day? What is it that might, where my energy, and as you build all that, it's important to know that every experience you have is not a waste. It contributes and makes you unique. Like I just shared, you know, you've got all these capabilities, you don't never know. And especially as jobs change, things that I've done in the last 10 years didn't exist when I was in school. So being open and not putting that pressure, but yet just take those steps. I think that's really key. And then being open to that discovery. So I think that that to me was if I was to go back, I probably would have had a lot more fun. And that is important. So that, and also that self-care piece, that's the second part, as I'm approaching midlife here. And, you know, do take care of yourself. Don't grind your health down, and it catches up quickly. So you need to learn how to rest and get that in your cycle. So
I really, really like that. I think I can relate to it, you know, when I was younger, you know, and a similar thing in terms of, you know, you are pressured to, like, oh, you know, you need to pick this, or you need to pick something. And then, like you said, a lot of times people do just pick something, and, you know, they go and spend a load of time, and then realize they just absolutely hate what they're doing and stuff like that. So, I mean, obviously these days people got so many different opportunities, and like you said, things you can do, but I think it is key is, like, don't get so bogged down. You know, so many, you know, attributes people can have, which can be used in all sorts of different things. And, you know, not to get sort of bogged down too much with, you know, being told just take, you know, this is what you need to sort of go down. So yeah, I really like that. And then just talking about a bit about teams. We touched earlier, you said about, you know, building a culture is one of the key things, you know, to have a good business and stuff. So just on that as well, like, any other sort of tips you would say around, you know, in terms of creating, you know, like a high performing teams and cultures, because obviously, as we know, you know, for any business to, like, really succeed, you've got to, that's got to be there at the heart of it. You know, if you haven't got people wanting to do with it, you know, they're either, they leave, and, you know, you lose, you know, you can end up losing good talent. So yeah, just if you've got any couple of tips around that.
Absolutely. It's my passion is the culture piece of everything. And I truly, truly believe, because I've lived it, it does eat strategy for breakfast. It is the most important part. Pandemic taught us that all of our strategies went sideways. A lot of things that we were planning had to change dramatically. And what kept our team going through that immense amount of change was this idea of our culture and how we work together and our purpose. So I think one of the things that's so important for leaders, especially, is you said it. And if you're not doing what you say, you have nothing. You have to be part of it, because people will model you. And if it's just lip service, it'll die on the vine. So I think that's really important. Leader, you either do it or you don't. It's that clear. I think culture is also something within teams that you need to constantly build. And it's something that you can't set and forget. I do remember when I first joined League 10 years ago, and we started down a road, and we had done this little piece of work. And I remember saying, okay, well, I guess we're good for that. I'm like, no, we're never finished. But it's also with the mindset of how are you bringing leaders along and empowering people to build that succession? Because, like you say, if people leave, and it will happen eventually, you need to have others ready to go, but also thinking about the organization's overall health and how you're going to make sure that, regardless of who's working there, it's the culture that you build and embed that carries that through. So I think, you know, making sure that you participate, making sure everybody's part of it. If you don't have full participation, it's going to eat away. You're going to end up with those little silos and pockets. So it's intention. And I think that's what I'll sort of leave it on. And whether it's remote, because we are a remote organization, we have folks global. You have to intend and plan and be deliberate, or it'll easily fall off. And again, just like a marriage or a relationship, if you don't put the effort in to keep that going, and people don't feel it's legitimate, it's just not going to take off and be fostered. So,
yeah. No, I really like that. I think, I mean, for me, now there, it's all walks of life. Like I said, you've got to be able to, you know, put the effort in and see that, you know, like I said, that everyone is, people are pushing the same direction. You know, I've obviously worked in a few businesses, and, you know, obviously when you look back, in hindsight, it's funny, you look back and you just think, oh, you know, really, I really enjoyed my time. That, you know, when you're in it at the time, sometimes you don't even realize how, you know, what it's like. So when you come out of it and you think, yeah, we just made a really good effort, really good work ethic, the team, everyone supported each other. And it's just, yeah, it's just a really good time. So no, I really, really like that. And so just moving on to our last question, just for on time purposes. So again, did a little bit of research. I know that, you know, at League Data, you're sort of looking maybe to potentially, you know, move more into the cloud, that kind of stuff. So, you know, we like to sort of ask, like, you know, how do you sort of see things changing for the future at League Data? I would think that this is obviously going to be one of the core things that you're going to be spending a lot of time on in terms of transferring League Data.
Absolutely. And it has been, actually, we're quite excited because this has been a three-year journey and we're about to pilot our very first credit union into our brand new cloud-based native banking system. So this is, yeah, and we'll be the first, I believe, in Canada, if not perhaps North America, for at least credit union system. A lot of hard work, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. So fingers are crossed here. It's always, you know, test until the day. But what's going to change for us? I think this opens up a lot of opportunity, a lot more partnership opportunity. As I mentioned, we deal with a lot of fintechs, and it's going to help us in this new world to, one, partner with a lot more other entities that we haven't, cross borders. Also, things like open banking are now in Canada, are coming to Canada. So we'll be able to move our credit unions towards whatever that looks like for us. So all of those things, we're very excited, and it means growth. So we are also probably going to grow beyond those that our original Atlantic Canada and probably provide services to other credit unions. So that's what we're looking forward to.
Yeah. Well, no, it sounds amazing. I mean, I think, we know this day, a lot of things now moving to the cloud and stuff, but again, you've got to do it right. And that's the thing, like you said, about testing and making sure that it works. But, you know, and obviously I think you're going to be off for Christmas holidays. I assume this will all start kicking off at the beginning of 2024.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we're early February, we're due. So a little bit of time for folks to give back and get all the fog out until we, for those that know in the North America, Super Bowl Sunday is a big deal. Unfortunately, we're launching on that date. So that might be good for the Monday after, where maybe it won't be so busy, but we'll see. That said, we're very excited to actually get this going and have data flowing. So
that sounds amazing. Well, obviously I know you're going to take a little break, but you know, I'm sure you'll be speaking and just be, you know, really good just to hear kind of how those things sort of you know, transpire in the future. And yeah, obviously, you know, all the best on that side. So yeah, just want to obviously just say again, thank you very much for you know, coming and talk to us. You know, I've learned a little bit more about credit unions and kind of how those, you know, things sort of work. And yeah, hopefully listeners have got you know, a little bit out of that as well. So yeah, thanks very much, Carrie, for coming and talking to us.
Well, thank you for having me. And again, happy holidays to you and everybody out there. And it's been my pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining this week's Game Set Matchup. Tune in to hear more about the need to knows and the do's and don'ts when it comes to creating successful business partnerships.